Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Yesterday, we began teaching the amazing book, Two Chairs, written by Bob Bodine. Out of the 40-plus books that I read in 2017, this was my favorite. In a short recap of our introduction yesterday, it's important to realize, and Bev said it this way, that this is not about furniture, but our future. Once we understand the significance that God actually waits to talk with us each morning, it will become a game changer in our travels through this life. That's why we're teaching this book, encouraging you to set an appointment, sit across from Him, every day before your day begins.
Our key scripture is Psalm 5, verse 3. Psalm 5, verse 3 in the New International Version says this way, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation." The first thing we need to do is put two chairs in a quiet area, facing each other. Understand that God will respond. Sometimes it'll be immediate, and sometimes it's not. But God will always honor your request and attention given to Him. Sometimes it just takes a while to make a connection. There's a difference between a sensory connection and a spiritual connection. Always remember, God is no respecter of persons. He wants to connect with you just as much as He does anyone else. And second, when you sit in that chair, be expectant about what God wants to say to you. Bob's recommendation in the book, Two Chairs, is that every minute you pray, spend 4 minutes listening for an answer. So you might want to think about what you want to say before setting up your appointment to see Him.
Now let's pick up where we left off. Once you begin meeting with God, you'll discover something amazing. You'll find out He does more than listen to you. He has a plan, plans to prosper you, give you hope, and always shed light on your great future. But to know these plans, we have to stop and be still enough to realize who He is. The first day that I sat in two chairs, I started praying by laying my expectations before God. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm praying, it seems other thoughts begin flooding my mind. These thoughts are not necessarily evil or sinful, not at all. Most of the time, it's things I need to do, or thoughts about people or what they're saying or doing. I've used the scripture to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Like right now, my mind just shifted to the fact that Bev and I were in California this time last year, visiting our children and grandchildren. Then my mind flipped to an amazing gift given to me by my family for Christmas this year. They were all here in North Carolina. It was an authenticated autographed baseball by Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees. See, if your mind goes in another direction while praying, here are two suggestions I can offer from personal experience.
First, Harold and I often quote, and I mean often quote, 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, I like this in the Classic Amplified Bible. It says, "We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ."
You know, honey, that's what I did, and you do, as you said, that when unexpected thoughts hit our mind as we pray, we take every thought captive.
And another thing that you mentioned, but I think ought to be mentioned even a little bit closer, is that it doesn't mean it's bad thoughts. It's just thoughts that are keeping us away from connecting with the Lord in the Spirit.
That's true. That's good. Second, early in my two chairs experience, I was quoting 2 Corinthians 10:5 a lot, when the Lord stirred something fresh in my spirit. I was directed to breathe deeply whenever any thought tried to interfere with my prayer time. I was directed to breathe deeply 7 times. Needless to say, I was amazed to discover that no random or extraneous thought could interrupt this breathing. I've heard some New Age gurus talk about breathing deeply to clear your mind. As I was thinking about that, the Lord reminded me that heresy is just truth taken to an extreme. So when my time with God was interrupted with random thoughts, I started breathing deeply, and I would pray in the Spirit between each breath.
Consider these 3 scriptures. There are actually many scriptures, but we really only have enough time to cover maybe 3 of the 22 we found. In Genesis 2:7 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living being." You know, God is the one who breathed the breath of life in us in the first place. And in John 20, verses 21 and 22 in the New International Version, it tells us what Jesus did when he first appeared before his disciples after his resurrection. It says, "Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" There is a spiritual dynamic here with the breath of life. And Acts 17, verse 25 in the New Living Translation says, "And human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need."
As I started taking deep breaths, something else stirred in my spirit. If God gives us, honey, the breath of life, when we breathe in, we're breathing the breath that God gives us.
Yeah.
And that helps us focus.
If we're alive, then we are breathing in what God, you know, every breath of life really is a gift from God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's something else to think about, maybe teach on another time. Each morning I ask God for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, ideas, directions, instructions, and the favor of God. I would say, "God, I need your wisdom," and I breathe deeply. "God, I need your knowledge," and I breathe deeply. "God, I need your understanding," and I breathe deeply. "God, I need your ideas," and I breathe deeply. "God, I need your directions," and I breathe deeply. "God, I need your instructions," and I breathe deeply. "God, I need your favor," and I breathe deeply. So here's a question you may be thinking. How do you get wisdom, knowledge, understanding, ideas, directions, instructions, and favor? Same way everybody else does. You ask for it. You seek it. Then it will be opened unto you.
In Matthew 7:7, great scripture, Matthew 7:7, and we really love it in the Classic Amplified Bible. It says, "Keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be open to you." If we don't have the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding and the ideas and the direction and the instructions and the favor that we want from God, then we need to keep asking for that wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and those skills. That is how we will receive. And I like the way that the Matthew 7:7 Classic Amplified, if you are a I guess I'm an editor, so it's like I understand a little bit more about grammar maybe than the most, than some people. But if you read that scripture, you understand that that grammar in this means to keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking. And that's the way it has actually been built into the Greek. In James 4:2, James 4, verse 2 in the New Living Translation, it says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to keep it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it.
Listen to the last 14 words of that verse one more time. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. By implementing the two chairs prayer experience in your life, you ask, He answers. That's the word of God in action.
We all know that Jeremiah 29:11 talks about the plans God has for us. But he continues with that advice in Jeremiah 29:12 and 13. It says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Now, here's a little preview about what we will be discussing on tomorrow's call.
Hallelujah.
In chapter 1 of Two Chairs, Bob asked his mother how to help one of his friends who's going through some tough times. She suggested asking his friend three questions, and we want to pose those questions to you today. If you've read the book already, you're familiar with it. But so, yeah, we're going to give them to you just so you can be ready for our conversation on tomorrow's call. Here are the three questions for you or anyone you know going through adversity of any sort. Question number one, does God know your situation? It's human nature to ask the advice of everyone else before we ask the one person who can actually help us. Why? Because we're in a comfort zone, talking with people. You know, we do it on a daily basis. Talking with God requires a spiritual connection that may take us outside of our comfort zone, so we avoid it. But it is the only way that we can really reach out to connect.
In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4 in the Message, it says, all praise to God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us as we go through hard times, and before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times, so we can be there for that person just as God was there for us.
I love that scripture.
Amen. And question number two, is it too hard for him to handle? You know, we often say he's not wringing his hands in heaven, wondering what is going on down here on earth.
And what to do.
That's it. Here are two amazing, reassuring verses to meditate on. Jeremiah 32, verse 17, King James. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Excuse me. And then Luke 18:27, Classic Amplified. But he said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God.
Question number three, does God have a good plan for you? Jeremiah 29:11, the International Version. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, on tomorrow's call, we'll talk in greater detail about these three questions, giving you practical application to it. Until then, meditate on these three questions and what we've shared today, and we'll be talking about more of it tomorrow.
That's right.
So until tomorrow, well, let me say this. If you've been blessed by the teaching, two things. Stay with me. If you don't have two chairs, the Lord directed us on yesterday's call to send a book for free to anybody who asks for it. Harold@haroldherring.com. We'll send you the book. Secondly, if you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com at the top where it says soul seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you send. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.